Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's Rich Urban Show. We're very happy to continue this series of interviews with the Republican primary candidates. Today we have Tricia Jackson, who's running for state auditor on the Republican ticket. So please introduce yourself.
Hi, yes. My name is Tricia Jackson. I'm running for West Virginia state auditor. I am a current county commissioner in Jefferson County. I was elected in 2020 and took office in 2021. Some might ask why I'm running for auditor. My term for commissioner is not up until 26. When our current auditor decided to move on to other ventures or other offices to pursue, I sat and thought about it and realized that a lot of what I do, I have a lot of firsthand knowledge and experience working with the auditor's office in setting budgets and levies, and then tracking taxpayer dollars, at least on the county level. And so it made sense. I thought, I'd be a good fit for this. The auditor has oversight, not only over the state's bookkeeping and the agencies, but over the counties and the municipalities as well. So I think I bring a lot to the table to offer and being a county commissioner and having that firsthand experience. And then speaking to several people throughout the state about municipalities and how they report, I think I bring a lot to the table with my commissioner experience. And then obviously I have a little bit of executive level experience with operations, project management, and human resources. So I think I have a well-rounded background to step into this role on day one.
Okay.
I'm running.
Great. Okay. So yeah, the auditor is like not something that I usually think about a lot. I have been on once or twice to look up expenses. I think it's, could you explain, like maybe to clarify, what's the difference or what are the functions of the Project Mountaineer and the WV checkbook? I think WV checkbook is where it has expenses, right?
Well,
you can
so
look
actually,
up expenses. Go ahead.
Yeah. So actually, WV checkbook is the state site that operates the state agencies in the state site. It was called Project Mountaineer when it was rolled out to the counties and municipalities. So it's still WV checkbook. It's just the term that they use to provide the portal for the counties, Project Mountaineer for the counties and the municipalities. So anytime you go in a checkbook in those agencies, you should still be able to see revenues and expenses. Now, I'm more intimate at the county level since I spearheaded bringing that in the fall of 22 with our county clerk to Jefferson County. It was pretty much a 9-month endeavor from start to finish to get that rolled out in Jefferson County. So it is called Project Mountaineer for the counties and municipalities, but overall
okay.
It is West Virginia checkbook.
Okay. So that's good. One thing, you know, so since here in the county, and I guess other counties, some of them are the same, 77% of our property tax is going to the school. But correct me if I'm wrong, the school isn't on this system, right?
Correct. The boards of education, I know ours, for instance, usually publishes their budget on an Excel spreadsheet.
Would that require like legislation to change that?
It probably would. We probably, in order to make them, submit I guess submit's not the right word, but to be on that system. Right now, it's all been volunteer. In fact, we only have 27 of 55 counties on the system.
Okay.
And the way that information is reported into the system is all over the place. Some counties have a financial system that'll integrate and update at night, and some enter their information manually, which leaves a lot of room for error. And because there's no standardization, It's all over the place as to what can be reported, and then it's not that information is not actually audited once it's put in there. So there has to be a reason for an audit. So back to your question, yes, it might require legislative encouragement for the boards of education to be on there, but I will work tirelessly to make that happen. I believe any organization, Richard, that is receiving taxpayer money, that's any organization that receives your tax dollars, should be on here and fully disclose their revenues and expenses so people can see how their money's being spent.
Yeah, well, with such a high school levy we have
Yes.
and the excess levy, you know, so I look in the local paper and it says, oh, we have, I'm not sure the exact figure, say 13 million for salaries. Well, whose salary? What salary? I
Right.
mean, come on. So how do you find out? Good luck. I remember the Spirit newspaper, it took them 2 months just to figure out who got the bonuses. Now, I understand, though, another limitation that you mentioned is that nothing like salaries is on there, right? It's only expenses.
Well, so
Or is it on the checkbook thing?
yeah, we do have, at least on the county level, I know from ours, we do have, there should be a payroll expense. Now, it doesn't break it down because currently the county commission and in conjunction with the county clerk's office, we manage the payroll, right? County clerk manages the payroll, but we set the budget for payrolls and benefit for payroll and benefits. So that's just payrolls and benefits. It's not, we can break it down by department, which it does, but I mean, it doesn't give you specific line items on, it'll tell you official salaries, it'll which has to be disclosed. But the current portal is very high level. And if you've been on there, I'm sure you've seen that it's a very high level thing.
Meaning.
Well, so I use this example all the time when I'm out talking to people. Professional services, for example, for the county or the county commission office, whatever it may be, is kind of what I call a catch-all bucket. Anything basically that we outsource. So public relations, any attorney's fees, if we outsource any human resources, anything that's outsourced that the county doesn't handle or it's outside the scope of employees falls into that one bucket as professional services. So there's no real way to know how much did we really spend on outsourced legal services when we have an attorney assigned to us as the county. So we're paying a salary for an attorney, and then how much do we really spend a year for specialty
So
practices?
you're saying there's not much detail on there, right?
Correct. So those need to be more, they do need to be more granular. So when I say it's high level, very surface level, I think there's a lot that can be done to make it more, I use the term granular.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah,
Yeah.
same issue. I mean, the schools isn't on there anyway, but they put something in the paper. But
Right.
it's, I don't want to say it's meaningless, but like, you know, for instance, like, you know, personally, I was against like the excess levy, and then some teachers will say, "Oh, they're gonna cut my salary." Well, it even that is hard to tell, but I'm pretty confident that teachers did not get any more than two, not 20, 1, 2%
Right.
of that excess levy, which
Right.
means basically it was just a token. So who gets it? Probably the bloated staff, whatever. You can't really tell. And as like you said, as a taxpayer, I know we're getting a little off because that's, I mean, it is money and tax money. So it's not totally
Right.
off. It's just off that we don't have reporting on it. It actually is not off because we need reporting on that. Like
Yes.
we need to know what's going to the money. Hey, how come they can get up to $20,000 bonus forever, by the way, not just a year? Shoot, some people probably don't make much more than that as a salary, and at least one or more persons got a $20,000 bonus. But I bet you if you did a survey of county residents, I don't know how many really know about that.
Well, so to your point, the levy, the excess levy, and they, I think the, you know, the bond, well, and the bonds and all that. Yes, you're right. Every time that comes up for a renewal, it's all, you got to vote for the levy because of our salaries. But the teachers, that levy it goes very little to support the teachers and their salaries or to support
Exactly.
the education of the children. It does seem to go more toward administrative things. The bond is more around, obviously, capital improvements and that sort of stuff. But we do need to dig into that. So it's confusing to people that if you vote against the levy, all the teachers are going to suffer and their pay is going to be cut. So people tend to vote for the levy because, of course, we want good teachers and we want our kids to be educated. But it's not really clear as to what those monies are being used for, who they're going to. And a lot of times, I think you might agree with me on this, it ended up going to a very top-heavy administrative
Right.
type stuff, and it doesn't really make it down to the teachers to give them what they need.
Yeah, well, I've even, some teachers have mentioned that, even some of these positions, like they have positions in the staff, or how do you say, main office, but it does, even in the school, they don't have, those services. It's not that helpful. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's something, that's, yeah, can be improved, but it's good that we have some reporting on it. But the schools thing, I mean, yeah, it's just a, yeah, it's kind of like a false advertising, meaning that, like you say, oh, help the teachers, and but it's not going for the teachers. Okay, anyway, we can move along from that. So as you know, what do you think the most important issue facing the Office of the Auditor is? Is there a particular issue or one or two that are the most crucial right now?
So I do believe the number one job of the auditor is to advocate for the taxpayer and be a watchdog for their money. And I do think our current auditor has done a J.B. McCuskey has done a great job in rolling out this transparency portal, but I don't think it goes far enough. So I think the number one thing, at least my number one priority, is to improve that portal, and make it, as I said, more granular. But before we can make it more granular, like I mentioned earlier, we have 27 of 55 counties that are on that right now. I've traveled around the state. I've met with administrators and other county commissioners. I met with one administrator, or she just casually mentioned the portal and how she has to go in and do the data entry every week. That leaves a lot of room for errors and mistakes. There's no consistent reporting. So I think there needs to be a standardized process for which this information is reported. But I also believe we need to give the counties and be consistent, some uniformity on how that information is reported in. We need to give the counties and the municipalities the tools to make their jobs easier for reporting that information in. The last thing I want is a burdensome process where somebody's got to spend half a day, maybe on a Friday afternoon, inputting this
Right.
information. So, in this day and age with technology, we should be able to streamline that process and cut down and alleviate some of that. Secondly, the information that's put in that portal is not audited. It's put in there for the public to see, but it's not audited. So, standardizing, uniformity, and being a little more granular with that reporting. So the first thing would be standardizing and getting all the county
Okay.
municipalities on that.
So again, going back to the school, is there any way, has any of have has the auditor or any of the previous ones ever talked about the school issue? Like it seems like a, I mean, like I'm saying, golly, I mean, 70, what do you mean? Almost 80%, like the great majority are taxing on the daggum school. Yes, it's great that we know what the county is doing in the county commission, but what about the other 80%?
Yeah, because the county commission really is removed, even though we manage the county budget, we're removed from the Board of Education's budget or having any influence or say over
But
it.
does the auditor have any authority there? Is it somehow not in statute, or has the auditor ever asked, like, or even you could start with the biggest or any school system, whether it be Kanawha or Jefferson or whatever, hey, why don't you get on the checkbook? So,
Yeah, so I know there's been encouragement in the past, but I know when the system rolled out, I know JB's approach was he wanted counties to volunteer to be on it. I believe originally there was some small fee to be on it, which was a discourager in itself. But eventually they opened that up. When we got on it, there was no fee. When Jefferson County got on that, there was no fee to get on that. We just said we wanted to do it. So I think it would be taking a look at getting them on there, encouraging them to get on there. So I would say that they've probably been encouraged to be on there, but there's probably been nothing to say you need to be on here.
But not even one school system is using it.
I'll have to go look and see if any have voluntarily been
Yeah.
assigned to that. I haven't
Well,
looked that far, but I do believe they all should be on it, and I would do everything I can to encourage
it
them
seems
to
like
meet the
that, yeah,
legislature. Yeah.
needs to be mandatory. And also, it needs to be like improved, like you said. I mean, this kind of idea. Yeah, I mean, people, I mean, we have whatever. Oh, we have 100,000 plus for the diversity director and the social emotional director, another 100,000. And oh, I got $20,000 bonus. What the heck? This is people's money. And some of
All
the,
this money shows up to be used for these programs, but we're not getting any further ahead with the education of our children, right? So it's, yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So that I'm glad you're, that's something that you're interested in getting, more going on. And I don't know, is there some legal restriction on including staff salaries? Is there some reason we can't know someone's salary? I mean, is that why not?
Yeah, I would have to look into that more. I think.
Because if you're a public servant, I don't think it should be secret. Like,
Well,
the
so yeah, for like our salaries are public, so that's accessible. That's even accessible when we submit the levy to the auditor's office every year in the budget. The elected official salaries are disclosed.
Yeah,
And
but the school
salaries
thing,
that
yeah.
we have, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just I do know anyway. It's just wrong. It should be. So I like the fact that, you're working more toward the transparency on
Yeah, the
that.
other thing with that portal, Richard, right now it's only available online. And we have an issue throughout the state with connectivity and accessing that. So I think accessibility and exploring ways to make that information accessible to people that might not have internet service or might not know how to navigate it. I know it's not the easiest thing to navigate, and I've been in and around computers. So we need to make finding this information easier for the general public. And we need to find other ways for them to access this information. So I'm all for exploring that. I don't know if it's an automated system. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I definitely want to get with that the platform is OpenGov, ironically, but the platform that runs the portal, and see what we can do for folks to maybe expand that and for folks to be able to access the information. My dad doesn't touch a computer, and he has an old flip phone, so he's not getting on a smartphone to access. But if he wanted to know something, he could probably call an automated system and figure out how you can navigate or correct through that. So I want to make it more accessible for people. I don't think it should be just a generation that knows how to use computers very well, and some that don't should be excluded. So that's my inclusiveness
Okay.
with that auditor's office.
So one other question. Do we have an issue? I think I've talked to people who work for the federal government, and there's this issue like you have a budget,
Right.
say a certain amount, and you haven't used your budget, and the fiscal year is coming to a close. So instead of saying, oh, it'd be great if we get back, 50,000 or 100,000, whatever it is, to the taxpayers, no. We'll just order some more supplies for next year or 5 years, or we'll use it up. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a good process. It seems common. Is that an issue on the state level too?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's an issue at the county level too. It's a use it or lose it mentality. So as you're going into budget season, they want to use the funds up. Now we do have, I don't want to say it's a, I don't want you to say that as a blanket statement, because I do know in the county, typically some of the departments have had excess funds at the end of the fiscal year, and they do come back to the county commission. So they get
Okay.
back rolled back into the general. It's rare, but we do have some that do that. So I don't want to make a blanket statement that they all do that. But yes, pretty much, it's if you didn't use your full budget, say for fiscal year 24, then and then you're asking, we always almost get an increased ask from most of the, so it is a use it or lose it in most instances, yes.
Yeah. So can anything be done about that? Or you think it's okay, or should it be better? I mean,
Oh
it
no.
seems it would be ideal to trim the budget instead of saying, oh, we'll keep it like you said, or whatever, you know.
Well, I'm a firm believer in reducing government. I'm a firm believer in our money going to provide essential services. I think a lot of times we have a prioritizing problem as government officials and what we're going to spend money on. And when I say that, I'll go here, is we had a record surplus apparently in money in the state. And we've got our state officials out here spending like drunken sailors, like giving our money to multimillion-dollar corporations. And we've got counties in the state who's has no fire service or no EMS. Takes them 6 hours to get EMS. We're not providing essential services to the residents of the state.
Right.
And that's an issue. So I would say we have a prioritizing problem in this state and in these counties. I think the counties try to do the best that they can with what they have. But when we have record surpluses on the state, you should do more to help these counties and these municipalities out. And I bring up the multi-million dollar corporation because of Form Energy. I mean, just here in Jefferson County, we've had probably a half a dozen, if not more, small businesses closed in the past 2 years. And the most recent that's closed is the Rainbow Diner Club up in Ripon. Now, I know they're bringing the road in, like
Right.
through that property. So it's over expanding the road. But they stayed in operation right up until the state decided, came in, and I think that was last week. But why don't we take some of that money and help that small business relocate or reestablish someplace else? That's just, we close.
Yeah, actually, Daniel Lutz was mentioning that to me.
And so, but we're out here giving Bill Gates-backed organizations 300 plus million dollars to set up shop, create very few jobs on a technology that's never even been tested. So
Because they got a tax break of 300 million.
they were given money in the name of economic development. So they were given an initial allotment of money. There's apparently an MOU. And then when all is said and done and they take possession of the property, I guess the factory's built or whatever, then they will, if the total amount, including the assets of the property, will be over 300 plus million dollars.
Wow.
So we have a prioritizing problem. I guess that's what I'm getting at is the
So how
government.
does it, so that's kind of like, I guess, who makes those kind of decisions? I suppose the governor weighs in, or does the auditor weigh in, or not really?
The auditor does, I mean, I can express my concerns, but the auditor will just be tracking the expenses, won't have a lot of bearing on how those funds are allocated. The legislature will do that. So they balance the budget. The legislature does that. Obviously, the governor weighs in on that. The governor usually gives his wish list on what he wants to see funded or programs he wants or whatever. But the legislature typically sets the budget. So the auditor would be tracking those items. And I can tell you as well, if I see excess money, I'm going to say something about, hey, let's give this back to the taxpayers, because that's just what I think we need to do, or find a different way to provide a service to the taxpayers. I think essential services should always
Well,
come before
yeah,
nice ads.
or reducing taxation. I mean,
Yes,
it seems
yes.
like the biggest taxation. I know the personal income tax gets a lot of fees, but people who aren't very high income like me don't pay much, if any, personal income tax.
Right.
$20 on my car. I'm just joking. Maybe that's about it. But the point about it is, I do pay a bunch of property taxes, and
Yes.
it's very substantial. And even though I'm a senior, it don't matter. And if you own one other property, it doesn't mean you're getting rich, then you're paying double the rate. It's very substantial. It's like thousands of dollars a year, and it really is a big hit. And that's way more than so-called personal property tax. So what about reducing property tax rates or something?
Yeah, well, and I don't know if you are eligible or you take advantage of the homestead
Yeah, I
credit.
do that. That's fine. But also, if you think about, if people have a property, a second property,
Right.
or a rental property or something, then if the rates are so high, that's going to get passed on to the renters too. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just a lot of monies. I mean,
Right.
it's
No,
substantial.
absolutely. And yes, I do believe that we are overtaxed in every way. My dad gets a homestead credit as well, but they haven't touched that in years. They haven't changed that amount in years, even though the assessed values have gone up in the area for various reasons, particularly home sales and all that. That hasn't changed. He's paying more. He's paying almost double of what he used to pay. And he
In the
gives
cat,
us
yeah.
half of that. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, but even
So,
with the income tax reduction that our budget, and I'm grateful that they did what they could do to reduce the income tax on us, but I don't think it went far enough. We've almost got $4 a gallon gas. So, I think you got to make choices now
yeah.
between, can you afford to drive to work or can you afford to buy your gallon of milk? It's just
Yeah.
crazy.
This is not it's not totally related to auditor, but like at the county level, does the when the revenues are up due to increased property values, does the county adjust the rate down?
Okay, so yes, the levy rate.
Well, no, the yeah, I guess it's a levy rate, like the rate that determines your prop, how much per thousand, whatever, the levy rate, I guess.
The maximum on the levy rate, I believe, is, and I always get this mixed up. I don't know if it's 28.57 cents or 87 cents, but the county commission has reduced that levy rate the past 3 years. Now this year it stayed the same. It's $26.50 on, I believe, it's Class II homes.
Per what? Per what?
We've rolled it back. It's called a rollback. And
Okay.
we have rolled it back,
Okay.
but you don't see a reduction in your tax bill because the assessed values went up.
I
So
get it.
not really. So we typically try to roll it back to try to equalize as much as possible with those assessed values. And so right now it is $26.50 that we just so we set the levy rate when we set the when we send the budget.
Yeah. One other thing, yeah, maybe. So one thing is, like with property tax assessment, is there, and this might be getting, well, it is a type of auditing issue, although perhaps it's not directly related. You tell me. But what I'm getting at is there seems to be wide variations in how they come up with property tax values. I know of a bunch of properties that this cycle, where the value of the property went up on 1 year 130%. And there's no, first of all, I know it'd be legislative to restrict that, but like it's, and actually, I think there's some funny monkey business with that. Meaning, I don't think it's necessarily accurate the way the assessor's working. Would your office have any oversight of that, or those kind of things, or do you know what I'm saying?
No, so the assessor is an elected position in the county, just like we are, and she had, we have no bearing over her office. The most we can do is the Board of Equalization and determine if we're going to, because it impacts the revenues, is determine if we're going to
Yeah, but
reduce
how
or.
about as auditor? Does the state auditor
I
have
don't think
been?
we have a lot of bearings over the assessor's office. I can check into that for you, but I really don't think we have a lot
Or
of
the
bearings.
comptroller. Yeah. Well, interesting. It's just interesting, like, who oversees it? So that's really not the auditor. So compared to the other, as we're probably coming near the conclusion, like the other like candidates for like auditor, you know, if you want to say, you know, how your qualification compares or what the difference might be or anything you'd like to say that we didn't touch on, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to, if you don't mind, real quickly, in the area of corruption, like I said, we don't audit the information that's put in from counties and municipalities right now, particularly because we're all over the place and how that's reported. You know, I believe sunshine's the best disinfectant, and I think if we can improve this transparency portal and give people greater access to that, that'll reduce fraud and abuse. But I also commit to that any time a complaint comes into the auditor's office, I will see that complaint from start to finish to ensure it gets a quick and swift resolution. So I do have three opponents in this race. Two have been delegates, and one's a current delegate. And one's a current senator, one of the senator, Mr. Hunt, Senator Hunt, was a Democrat until 2022. So I'm just going to throw that out there. We have Mr. Householder and Mr. Hanna, Delegate Householder, Mr. Hanna. My biggest concern is that all three of these gentlemen voted to give that money to Bill Gates. That's not conservative. That is not in the best interest of the taxpayers. And again, while I understand the auditor's office does not appropriate funds, I just think that says irresponsible and reckless with taxpayer money. So one of my big things is how do you create the problem and can possibly be part of the solution to the problem when you're out here giving the money away hand over fist? So I kind of alluded to this earlier. I do believe my executive level background in human resources operations and projects management from the private sector, I spent 25 years in the private sector, along with my experience as a county commissioner, having that firsthand knowledge of working with the auditor's office, uniquely qualifies me to step into this office and makes me stand out compared to my three opponents. To hit the ground running on day one working for taxpayers. And I know the auditor's office does a lot more things, you know, land commission and all of that. But I think the most important thing is to improve transparency and let people know where their money's being used,
Okay.
how it's being used. And if we can find anything that's not being used appropriately, we try to figure out how to return that, to the taxpayers. So I
Okay.
just always say, if you want status quo or more of the same, I've got three opponents you can vote for. If you want something different, you know, a fighter, if you want open books, I'm the gal for the job.
Okay. So if you are successful, then there would be a special election for your current position?
There would not. I worked in
Commissioner.
legislation. I tried to get that. I tried to get that with the situation that went on last year. I did have a delegate in Charleston introduce legislation to have a special session for the constituents and the residents to vote for who goes into a seat when it becomes vacant. Right now, it would be an appointment. If I'm successful, the appointment wouldn't, or the process for appointment wouldn't occur until January 1st.
Okay. Oh, it's appointment. Okay,
Yes.
that's what I missed. All right. Well, wow. Thank you. Okay, thank you for coming on and, you know, sharing all these points and, you know, giving us more information about yourself. And I hope it helps everybody. We'll put it up at The Rich Urban Show, and it'll be on any podcast platform or on visionroot.org. We'll have the video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I know my schedule's been all over the place, so I tried to grab the first thing I could.
Okay, that's great. No, we appreciate it. And I hope it helps, you know, some of the voters to decide. That'll be great.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tricia.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.